Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Job interview today.
Ooh, okay, I see you moving on up in the world, doing big things since you got your little old diploma, huh?
Jumping in the deluxe sky.
Jumping back into the job market. So how's it feeling getting you?
So I got a text message about the job. I'm like, okay, sure.
You got a text message about the? Is that a red flag?
That's already step one.
If it's not from, like, LinkedIn, if it's not a push notification from LinkedIn or from Indeed, do we accept text messages?
Well, I mean, I on Indeed and ZipRecruiter, I have it all set so, like, people can text me with job opportunities. People can text me with job opportunities, but
right,
not with fucking
saying.
Emails. I unsubscribe from that shit.
What I'm saying, though, is like, you know, we are living in the future currently, and, like, an email notification about a job or a text message notification about a job offer shouldn't feel scammy, but it does feel scammy though, right? Like,
it does. The name is Dream Crafters,
which is only a couple of letters away from Dream Catchers, so I can only imagine that what they are selling you is something akin to a startup, right?
Huh. Okay.
Listen, I've had my feet in this marketing thing for a while now. Like, I can tell by the name that I told you this shit sounded like a red flag.
So I Googled it.
Red flags all over the place, huh?
It was like, their Indeed page and their LinkedIn page and their Facebook page couldn't find a link to their actual website. I had to go to their Facebook page to check on their website. I looked at, like, they had their, mission, careers, community,
about me,
like our community culture, and it's just like, look at all these really attractive people in at like NOMA,
that are clearly not just like, you know, stock actors that we paid to.
She's like, so tell me about yourself. I'm like, well, I'm a comedian. I co-host a pop culture podcast, so I have to stay up to the everything that's going on.
Okay,
and. Me, having gone through the internet process that ends up with me wearing a suit in a Sam's Club, wondering where my life went wrong, having been there before, my first question was, so what brands do you represent? They represent Verizon, and their sales are going really, really up. They're doing great. And I'm like, really? So are you, like, selling cable, too? And she's like, yeah, our cable subscriptions. We're doing really well selling cable subscriptions. I'm like, you are? You're doing great selling cable subscriptions?
I'm like, I'm already like, when you said Verizon, I was like, in what capacity, right? Like, and so what you're telling me is that they've subsidized you to probably design old people walking through Sam's Club up for fucking cable subscriptions.
Because what they need to do is they are trying to aggressively expand into other markets. Which means that you have an opportunity for rapid upward mobility. You can open your own office.
That's what they all.
And then hire your own team.
They told you you could open your own office, huh? Not that they was gonna give you an office, but they you could open your. You're like girl bossing, but
the pyramid scheme kind of. I was even in the interview. I was like, look, I mean, like the only thing I would ever need cable for is sports. They are even making a streaming app where all of the sports broadcasting networks are going to be, putting all of their shit onto one platform. So how are you doing with your cable sales?
Is it owned by Disney? Because I feel like it's owned by Disney. I was going to say, if you got like HBO Max or Paramount Plus or Disney, you get your sports too, right? Hulu has live sports.
Hulu does have live sports.
That's crazy. So, what were they offering? Like, what was the salary?
Care?
It wasn't enough for me to sit around for that bullshit. Oh, man.
I guarantee you it's commission-based.
I'm telling you, yo, the level of scammery is rising up and crashing through. This is Doug.
And Ziggy.
And we are your favorite weekly pop culture digest, The Flood, bringing you our pop perspective.
To put the culture in context.
And make the mainstream make sense.
Because if we don't make sense, we don't make dollars!
Holla! Cha-ching! Welcome back, and you can make it cha-ching at that Patreon. Shout out to our Patreon subscribers.
Enraged Peacock and AC/DC.
I feel like you used AC/DC.
I used AC Slater.
I know you've used AC Slater. I feel like you used
AC/DC. That's one of my favorites. Too. I think that might be my favorite that I've used.
So, the things have been pretty weird recently, I would say, right? Last week we talked about the Nickelodeon expose documentary Quiet On Set. Well, the documentary has officially dropped by this point. By the time...
Part of it.
Right, because it's being released on a episodic basis. I'm not going to say it's weird for a docuseries, but like...
I think it's weird for a docuseries considering the subject matter.
Donald Trump is too broke to pay his bail.
And New York is even trying to throw him a bone with that. Have you heard about that?
No, I have not. But
yeah, so apparently the $455 million got dropped to like $175
million. Oh, it was like, yeah, I guess we get it. It's a little much. Maybe we'll make it easy for you, Donnie. Well... While New York is trying to make things easier for Donald Trump to pay his bills, Joe Biden is trying to make it easier for Americans to get access to electronic vehicles, and that issue is now becoming political.
The world of sports has gotten a media shakeup, and the world of baseball has got a shit show on its hands.
So does Diddy, apparently, by the... Because right as soon as we started recording this podcast, some news about some more of his law or his lawsuit troubles just dropped.
He's getting invaded this time.
And all that and more as we roll into it here. But you know how we like to start things at the Flood Pod.
And this week's hit on the algorithm is...
It's like that, nigga! That's what it is. That's all we gonna play because I don't want to get copyright struck, but oh my god. Oh my, as he do, as they usually do, Metro Boomin,
Future,
and K. Kenny Kung Fu Dot Lamar. Drop
Ken, Kung Fu Kenny, K. Dot, King Kunta.
Drop the single, I don't know if you can use that one. I don't know if you get to use. Once again, dropped another motherfucking single with some fucking bars that's bound to tuck sensitive rappers back in their pajama clothes. Or excuse me, their motocross suits.
I was at UIL and people were talking about X-Men being an allegory for civil rights. And then the mutant word being the allegory for the N-word. So then imagine like hip-hop... co-opting the word mutant
instead of
and then beauty and then you had
I don't like that
people
like
were
that.
Like people were like, can you imagine all of these like normal people being like, yeah mutie?
Oh no, I don't like this. Oh bro, no.
Fucking Koofy on Magneto.
I'm totally here for this Marvel Civil War style fucking beef that Kendrick Lamar, Future, Metro Boomin, and Drake and them got going on.
Like, J. Cole just being like, why am I here?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier,
he just wants to drink his almond milk.
There's rumors that and you can look into J. Cole's discography and some of his verses and see, you know, the subtle little jabs that he's taken at some of his contemporaries, right? But that's why I brought up the Control verse earlier, right? Because Kendrick hasn't really been this spicy since the Control verse got people all in their feelings. And I would say that J. Cole is the only one, and J. Cole and Big Crit were like the only ones who responded in a way that was like, yeah, this is hip hop, Mac Miller too, right? R.I.P. Right? Like, yeah, this is hip hop. We supposed to be competitive, but Big Sean got all in his fucking feelings. Drake famously in his feelings, right?
Control hit so hard it permanently sent Drake into his feelings. The Control verse is so legendary. We are talking about it 10 years later.
Yo, Drake. You know, really wasn't expecting that the same way. I don't think he was expecting Pusha T to expose him for being a deadbeat dad, right? Like, and listen.
I gotta give Drake credit. He knows how to persevere.
He's good at it. He's you know, real king of the spin like Don Trump, right? You know, he's got good role models to look up to. But I do think it's funny because both of them are Jewish. It really is giving me Marvel Civil War vibes, right? Like, I'm trying to decide who is Iron Man here and who is Captain America. Obviously, Drake has decided he's Captain America, though, the way he keeps coming out in these fucking motocross suits. No, I guess that would make him Iron Man, right? Like, yeah, he's decided he's...
Yeah, he's like decided he's
Tony Stark. Yeah, and Kendrick is here to really save the identity of hip-hop.
He's Steve Rogers.
Okay. I think Kendrick would approve of that.
He'd be a more fitting Captain America than Anthony Mackie.
Damn. Don't do that to Anthony Mackie. But let me tell you, I did not have Future jumping sides either on my 2024 bingo chart. That's crazy to me because, like, you know, Drake and Future, that...
You know who was on Captain America's side? Black Panther.
Are you calling Future Black Panther here?
I think it'd be more fitting to say that Kendrick is Black Panther and Future would be Captain America? Future is 2024 Captain America. Why does that feel
perfect? Sensational, as Future would say. Oh my god. Yeah, no. Somehow, I feel like that is more accurate than you intended for it to be. This little single here has really sent like a shockwave throughout the hip-hop community. The online discourse is really a bit more like half and half than I would have thought it to be, but lots of people are calling Kendrick a hater, right, saying that he needs the beef to reignite his career after his disappointing sales for his last album, and I don't know.
You think Kendrick gives a fuck about sales?
I was gonna say, I don't know if Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers really was disappointing as far as like sales and stuff go, because it, on the other hand, the discourse lately is that Drake is putting out so much music that the quality of his music is starting to drop.
Like,
right?
Dion said, he doesn't make good music, he makes music that sounds good.
Yeah, and so now we're here to the point where, you know, Drake has made shots and or made subliminal statements about Kendrick and how, like, you know, Kendrick disappears for like 5 years before he comes back to make an album and stuff like that. Whereas Drake has been around consistently and people are, you know, comparing the two's work ethics to the caliber of MC that they really are. And at the end of the day, Kendrick said, It's time for this nigga to prove if he really liked that. Like, and then I saw people online.
The thing is, like, Drake never goes away and never gives us an opportunity to miss him.
He claims he has. And then there are people online that claim Drake is 5-0, right? Like, you know, that he's been up toe-to-toe five separate times and has come out on top of each single little beef that he's been in. I would argue he's probably more like 4-1.
Yeah, he definitely
maybe
lost
like
to Pusha T.
3-2. Yeah, the
people
the people out there who, and if anybody in our listener group is saying this thing is 5-0, I need y'all to stop smoking that Walter White. Because that shit got y'all, stop drinking that fucking DJ Screw, because that shit got y'all wild. That Wakisha got y'all on the internet typing all kinds of crazy shit. Don't do that to yourself. Do you think Kendrick knows what he's doing, though?
I think Kendrick always knows what he's doing.
It's funny when you really look at the history between...
You know how I feel about how Kendrick is with the English language, let alone the form, the art form of hip-hop.
So, when you say that, a lot of people here are really anticipating, like, the Drake conversation is one thing, but what people are really anticipating is the response from Pope, right? Like, everybody is like, you know, he said big three. J. Cole is the one that said... Aubrey, K. Dot, or me, it's like we the big three, like we started the league, right? Like, so a lot of people are thinking, you know, okay, so...
Didn't Kendrick, he say he goes out, calls himself Muhammad Ali?
So when Kendrick makes that reference, right, it's like, who is he talking about? Is he still continuing the beef with Drake, or is he saying Cole again? Like, J. Dot, Cole, me, K. Dot.
I mean, he said Cole could in control. No reason he couldn't now.
Yeah, and I mean, Cole, like I said, is the one MC who I feel like is out of the three, or out of the two that got called out in this situation. I feel like it's really, you know, about that smoke.
All right, here's a question for you. Who would be most shocked to get a diss track about them, and then be even more surprised when they come back with a good diss track?
Because I don't know if you've been paying attention or if you follow Chance the Rapper on his Instagram. Meanwhile, Chance the Rapper and Big Sean are out here dropping some pretty phenomenal heat lately, which is, you know, surprising considering the last thing we got from Chance the Rapper
was... I love my wife!
Hot shower. No, listen. It was a hot shower.
Hot garbage.
No, but, you know, here we have the big three stealing all the...
I'm on Kendrick. Team Kendrick, yo.
I think Kendrick is just trying to, you know, spur some competition in the game. Because yeah. Hip-hop is kind of boring at the moment.
Yeah.
And its record sales are dropping to country music. Which is literally like...
Fascist anthems?
Now, I don't know if I would call 16 Carriages a fascist anthem, right? But I will say that country music is like the antithesis to hip-hop. Or... Maybe not the antithesis, but it is one of those territories.
It works better in a small town.
That outside of, I guess, country rap, which at this point has just morphed into trap music, is, you know...
Nazi trap music.
One of the only areas that hip-hop hasn't really, like, ventured into yet. And when you say Nazi trap music, what are you referring to?
Tom McDonald and Ben Shapiro.
Oh, that wild shit. Yeah, no, we talked about that shit. Nobody else is talking about it.
There are only two genders.
Did you see Candace Owens got fired from the Daily Wire?
I did. I saw a great tweet where they were like, Candace Owens was fighting for a white person's workplace, and she got it.
Damn. No, for real, though, that shit is crazy. Candace Owens getting fired for being anti-Semitic at the...
Where was she even working at this point?
At Ben Shapiro's company. I mean, it's not Ben Shapiro's company, but he owns, like, a stake in the Daily Wire.
Oh.
Right. So, you know, I have a feeling that she'll get that spot that Elon was going to give to Don Lemon until Don Lemon went and pressed Elon for being a racist.
I'm going to put something on my bingo card. Candace Owens is going to show up on the Stephen A. Smith show.
Do you think she ends up on Stephen A. Smith before she ends up with a Twitter, an X spotlight?
It would have to be because Stephen A. wouldn't have her on if she has an X show, because that would be beneath even him.
You don't think Stephen A. Smith still got love for Elon?
No.
I don't know.
I think he's got love for his reputation.
His reputation ain't shit right now.
Hey, JJ Redick. Coming for the throat, it looks like.
Elon, that Don Lemon interview was pretty wild, and it really kind of just exposes that Elon needs to stop doing ketamine.
Yep.
Before he gets removed from the head of more of his fucking companies. But also that, like, yeah, no, this idol worship of these people... Right,
it does prove that no one likes Don Lemon.
Yeah, but when you're so bad, you can make a guy that nobody likes look good. It's not a good look.
With basic journalistic practices.
Basic in softball, like these softballiest of softball.
You and I would have done a better interview than Don Lemon and still would have made Elon feel as awkward.
We wouldn't have gotten the interview. And once again, Elon said it. He said the quiet part out loud when he was like,
"The only reason I'm doing this is because you are on the X platform."
It was going to make me look good. You were supposed to make me look good, and here you are making me say racist and stupid things. And it's like, nobody made you say that shit, Elon. Like, you don't...
What do you mean, Don? I said the actual truth.
Yo, the fucking whole black pilots are, like, inherently worse pilots because of DEI and stuff. That was a whole new level of racism for me. It was like... New races.
Wait, what? What?
Oh, you didn't see that?
That's no. Like,
okay, so part of the whole DEI discussion has been with the airline pilots, right? And the airline pilots are being focused on right now because of all of the Boeing catastrophes, right? Like the woman who was flying that plane that the door flew off
their
on.
Their CEO is stepping down, by the way.
Was a black pilot, right? And a lot of the weird narrative being pushed around on the X platform that, you know, has terms of use and everything like that and bans hate speech that is of illegal or like harmful narrative, right? Was that the reason why the door flew off was because this black pilot wasn't trained enough because Boeing's DEI program pushed through somebody who wasn't qualified, even though airline companies don't get any say in like FAA regulated pilots licensing. It's bonkers the steps and the hoops that people will jump through
just the whole Boeing to be thing,
ignorant, bro. It's crazy.
It just everybody
oh Boeing
everybody and- remember the whole Boeing thing is even crazier considering the Ocean Gate sub was built with Boeing parts.
That's wild. I thought you were going to mention the fact that that we shouldn't be sleeping on this Boeing thing because something crazy is... Like, the fucking... One of the key witnesses was found dead in his hotel room.
Yeah. Suicide.
He suicided himself. Oh, excuse me, unalived himself. Right?
Bro. I got flagged. I got a comment removed from Facebook for, like, satire. I was making fun of Shohei Ohtani, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, "Ha, stupid Americans, I'm gonna become the greatest baseball player of all time so I can shave a few runs and throw away my $700 million contract for a little bit of extra winnings. Ha, perfect plan." And they deleted it because they said my comment made a particular group feel inferior. Because I said, "Stupid Americans."
Oh my god. Oh my god. Not... That is... What a twist. Jesus Christ, is that where we're at, bro? Like, okay, there's so many things to unpack here. I've been seeing... I wanted to talk about this discourse I've been seeing over the term unalived online, right? Because, like, Gen Xers and older millennials... are
how about just certain just, words in general?
But yeah, no, that Boeing case is getting pretty fucking nuts, dude. Like when people start unaliving themselves over what you would think was just a mishandling of, you know, I guess the qualifications of how these things are being built, right? But like when whistleblowers are getting offed, it makes you wonder.
No Diddy.
It makes you wonder what else Boeing doesn't want to come out, right? Because
no Diddy.
If the doors are flying off of their fucking airplanes, right? And then reports are coming out that their airplanes are also not up to standard, right? When it comes to safety regulations and build quality and things like that. And they are, you know, consistently being not bailed out by the government, right? But like the, you know, the aeronautics industry, like those are some of the largest corporations in the country.
Yeah.
Right. It makes you wonder what's going on with that money. And I find funny is the discourse going on online about the phrase unaliving. Have you seen?
I've seen them changing certain words or spellings, and
so that's been happening for a long time, right? And I would say that it started with YouTube, right? It's something that was spurred on by Alphabet after like the second or third apocalypse, and they're just like extra heavy-handed now with what you can and can't talk about when it comes to being monetized for like ad revenue. As you were mentioning about your comment being pulled down for saying stupid, yeah. Americans, one of the YouTubers I'm subscribed to, Intellectual Media, just put out a video called What It Was Like Being Black in the 90s, and her video was demonetized because it was being called like exclusive or too exclusive or not inclusive enough or some bullshit like that, right? Like leaving out other communities and making people feel like
the video was called What It's Like Being Black in the 90s.
Yeah, bro, like, so
a white guy is gonna get an educational experience from that.
Part of me gets it, right? Like, why content creators on TikTok and stuff will do that. Because, like, you can't even, like, drink on TikTok. If you have, like, a beer, your video will get muted. Videos get muted for, like, the dumbest shit. I get it because the populist mob is to the point where the companies are playing it extra safe, so they don't have to deal with the outrage, right? They don't want to get wayfared out here for anything, right? I mean, YouTube has gone through an apocalypse for some crazy shit. First, it was like the ISIS recruiting videos, and then it was like the whole ElsaGate shit where all those weird for children's content videos were making it through with like the sketchy and like almost quiet on set levels of like sketchy kind of animation, and now we're dealing with this conservative backlash where Karens are fucking complaining about any little thing that is slightly queer coded, right? Or making white people feel like the snowflakes that they are.
Yeah, it's just wild to me. It's just, you're never going to read a police report and it goes, victim died by unaliving.
Yeah, okay, right, obviously.
Like,
obviously not, but it's like, the whole point is this is not a police report, right? Like, this is YouTube, and YouTube has chosen that by its terms of service, the word suicide may be triggering to some people, so they won't put ads on. And it's not even really YouTube at this point, right? Essentially what YouTube is saying is y'all have made it so that Tide and Disney and Procter and Gamble, they're not gonna fuck with us if you guys keep talking about all this gay shit and all this suicide. No, it absolutely had nothing to do with the weird fucking grooming videos that you guys were allowing. It had absolutely nothing to do with y'all letting fucking radical Islamic content slide for no fucking reason. No, it was because people can't handle the word suicide.
Or right? Stupid Americans.
That's the point. It's the overcorrection that I think is really going overlooked. Not to be funny or clever, but like honestly, yeah, no, it really is like the levels of overcorrection.
Arise!
Hear me out though. Unaliving isn't that stupid of an alternative, considering the reason why we have to come up with alternatives, right?
The one that I heard recently was,
I don't know why it's bothering people so fucking much.
One that I heard recently was PDF file.
Oh, for pedophile?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dumb though, because then when
it is dumb.
When you're talking about an actual PDF file, see, but these are the kinds of scenarios that we're putting ourselves in here. And it's like, and then they wonder why people are just fucking done with social media, bro. Like, I've seen a whole bunch of articles recently about Gen Z being more conservative, right, than millennials and Gen Xers. And what I really think it is they've just overcorrected in the opposite way. Like, yeah, they're more liberal when it comes to their views on, like, climate change and, you know, acceptance of LGBTQ communities and stuff like that. But they're much more, like, closed in and reserved.
Their beef weeks are going to be boring as fuck.
I was going to say, it's not that they're conservative. I think after reading these articles, I think the conclusion I've come to is they're more reserved than Gen Xers and millennials, right? Which sounds weird for the generation we've come to believe likes to just live their lives online.
I mean, they got kicked out of Miami.
Yeah, newsflash. I don't know if you heard this. By the time you're hearing this, it means more than likely you are not leaving Florida or Miami Beach. Right? You're probably leaving Daytona or Jacksonville because they'll still have it. But Miami?
Nope.
Dunski. Miami officially broke up with Spring Breakers in the corniest advertisement I've ever seen. And oh my God, you would
have talked about... It's not us. It's you.
You want to talk about a DEI program? They picked the most diverse cast to tell Spring Breakers, like, we're not having it here. We're sick of you all getting
drunk. We are the world telling you to fuck off.
Doing it for the Vine. Vine's not even a thing anymore. No one wants to see your stupid TikTok challenges. Give me my milk crates back. Yeah, no. I mean, in all honesty, though, what? They had, like, 3 people get shot last year for Spring Break. Which is probably, I don't know, I feel like that's about average for Miami, but maybe that's why they're like, we can't have people coming in from out of town and adding to this chaos.
That's Tommy Vercetti's job.
They are instituting curfews, which is crazy.
Yeah, I saw all of those laws, and I'm like, how is this going to affect the locals?
Right. I can't be out after 10 o'clock because some college
crazy
kids might be
parking prices. Like, yeah. I work in the city. Like,
No, it was giving you need to be rich to party here. And you know, we just every day we slide further and further into this corporatocracy.
We care.
And y'all care. And that's why you're here. Jamming out with us at the Flood Pod. Welcome back.
We're jamming.
It's like, nah, but...
We're jamming with you.
On that note, we'll
be jamming.
To jamming with y'all.
We're jamming. I hope you like jamming too.
Right after this break.
I hope you like jamming. I hope you like jamming. I wanna jam it with you.
Welcome back. And by now, as I'm sure you all have heard, because this is the Easter episode, happy Easter, everybody that celebrates. Diddy got raided, y'all.
Raided. Like, raided.
By fucking Homeland Security.
In Miami and LA.
On both coasts. On the same day. And I'ma ask y'all the same shit I asked Zig off mic. What the fuck do y'all think they know about Diddy, y'all? Cause for real. They raided both of his houses. That's crazy.
And to answer the question I said tongue in cheek a few months ago, who gets arrested first, Trump or Diddy?
Obviously it's gonna be the black man.
Technically, Trump was arrested first.
But, I mean, it looked like Diddy might be going to jail. Like,
yeah, I saw one where it was, Tory and R. Kelly waiting for Diddy to show up.
Jesus Christ, nah, they might throw that nigga Diddy in a whole different jail. They talk about human trafficking charges. I mean, I guess they was hitting R. Kelly over to him with human trafficking. bro, like...
There ain't no way Diddy wouldn't be in the most posh fucking prison.
They're calling that nigga the Epstein of hip-hop. They running around here saying no Diddy instead of no homo now.
Yup.
That's crazy.
I wonder if the feds called him daddy.
Jesus, why would you do that?
They want him to party.
Yeah, don't nobody want to party. That's why don't nobody want to show up to the white party no more. That's why there wasn't a white party this year. If I remember correctly, it wasn't no white parties this year because this nigga Diddy probably knew he was about to fucking rape. That's just crazy. Crazy. Almost. What's crazy? This or fucking Shohei Ohtani, right?
No, this is Diddy is definitely crazy.
I know everybody is like, what kind of fucking transition is that, Doc? You obviously know that this is fucking like magnitudes crazier than what Shohei is doing. Yeah, because what Shohei is doing is that, I mean, everybody's doing it. Shohei just got it. Let's talk about it.
All right, so here's the story. Shohei Ohtani's translator, who's also like his best friend, got fired from the Dodgers because he was found out to have a huge gambling debt of like $4.5 million, which allegedly he asked Shohei to cover, to which Shohei did with a wire transfer to an illegal bookie who is currently under federal investigation.
Oh, I'm sorry, they weren't using FanDuel?
No. They were using an illegal bookie!
Jesus Christ, they could have at least been getting the spot.
That's been another one of the jokes. They'd be like, it probably wouldn't have been a big problem if they used FanDuel. But the translator said that Shohei let him borrow the money. A few hours later, Shohei releases a statement saying, yeah, no, that never happened. He definitely stole from me. And now we just had a press conference saying, yeah, he definitely stole from me. Because the best case scenario is, yeah, this guy stole money from Shohei and put bets on all of these other sports, conveniently, none of them baseball.
Conveniently.
That is the one scenario that it's like Shohei is completely off clean.
As far as we know at the moment, right?
If it's option two,
worst
where
case.
He did just want to cover his friend's gambling debts, noble effort, doing it through an illegal bookie with a wire transfer, still puts him in hot
water. I was
going to
say, worst case scenario is they got caught skimming the pot, and now they're having trouble deciding.
Absolute worst case scenario
is taking the ball.
He's shaving runs for covering bets.
Yeah, and now they're having a little public civil war, kind of like Kendrick and Drake, on who is going to take the fall through.
MLB is trying to cover that shit up as much as possible.
Did you hear that Bruno Mars allegedly owes MGM Grand $50 million in gambling?
I did actually hear that.
So Shohei is not the only person who's struggling.
Well, Shohei ain't struggling with money. His interpreter is, though. Allegedly.
Well, allegedly, like I said, Bruno owes MGM Grand a whopping $50 million, while he is also currently making $90 million from them while doing residency over there, right? So this thing is just, you know, kind of giving the house its money back as he's stuck in there. Yo, this sports gambling thing has got really out of hand, bro. I like that shit has been trending all over the internet too, how dudes is like ruining their lives trying to save their student loan debts with these FanDuel bets and shit. Like,
I mean, I put $5 in like earlier this week, and I was able to pull out like maybe $20 before I finally busted last night on my last like $5 bet. So,
I mean, that's not, yeah, but see, your bets are
but
still
these,
sitting
these
low,
people are
right?
Putting down like huge money.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking, but that's not paying.
I get anxiety putting down a $10 bet.
that's been the epidemic, right? And they're saying the more that sports betting gets normalized, the more we're seeing a rise in gambling addictions, right? And well, especially yeah. gambling addictions amongst people who are coming out of things like Wall Street bets and NFTs and Bitcoin and all that, whatchamacallit, Coinbase or cryptocurrency mining and shit like
that.
At
least sports betting is more entertaining.
You could, you know, sell your life away, bet your life away.
I like basketball.
If you're going to gamble your life away, then it might as well be on an entertaining game, right?
Speaking of entertaining games, do you know what the highest rated programming in the United States of America is consistently?
Highest rated, it's not Judge Judy?
No, it is professional football. It is professional football. Well, the
and that's
NFL,
not what I saw on Truth Social, okay?
The NFL has instituted a new rule change. You are no longer allowed to hip tackle people. That's right, you can no longer grab the offensive player from the hips to tackle them.
Wait, what? Wait, I thought that was already, like, a thing that wasn't allowed in football, right?
No, is that's hitting them low or hitting them high.
That's not
now like, you can't hit them in the mid, either.
That's not, like, holding, though, right? Like,
no.
Isn't that a call that you can... Tackling somebody from the hip and, like, holding on to them, till, I guess, if they fall from the contact, then it's, like, holding, but if you, like... Anyway, I'm getting into some. I just feel like, yeah, I thought there were angles to already cover this kind of thing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, basically what it means is if the receiver gets past the defensive back, just give up. You're not going to be able to tackle him because you're
yeah,
just
you
gonna,
can't touch that guy.
Yeah,
anymore
you,
without
how are you going to tackle him without breaking a rule? And if you yeah. break a rule, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down.
So. Where do you stand on the argument that all of these new changes are being made for the player's benefit versus the enjoyability of the game? Like, is the game still enjoyable to you even though we're not getting some of the, you know, powerful contact that we saw growing?
Well, to be honest, I haven't watched... My interest in the NFL has already been declining over the past couple of years. But I also grew up watching Ray Lewis explode people.
I remember full contact Sunday, Monday night football. Right?
Like, if you showed them now, they would look like war crimes.
They do. Some of those hits are gruesome. Right? That's why I said the league is doing this for the players' benefit. And what's funny is you don't really hear the players complaining about it. I don't see too many players complaining about a lot of the changes that the league has made as far as, like, contact goes.
A lot of people, including former players, were actually complaining about... Even offensive players were complaining about this.
About this one, though. I can see this, though. I can see that for this. Because it does remove a whole, like, function of being a defensive player.
Yeah.
Right? Like... And you've just kind of nerfed an entire angle of approach for me as a defensive player here without providing me any kind. We might as well be playing flag football.
And that's been, like I said earlier, the NFL was the number one trending thing, and then like eight spots lower was the word flag associated with the term football.
Because if this is where we're at, why not just go all the way with... I mean,
look, people have to understand that there is no way to make contact football a safe
sport.
It is impossible.
It would be like implementing like headgear and stuff for professional boxing or mixed martial arts.
I heard Jake Paul might be wearing headgear for that fight.
Stop. Please stop. If they make them wear headgear...
No, I heard just Jake.
Just Jake? That has to be a troll. I'm going to go ahead and call that a troll because, like, why wouldn't it be? But yeah, no. I'm going to call it a troll because that just sounds crazy to think that Jake Paul would accept a fight with Mike Tyson and then be like, oh my God, I got to wear headgear because I might die. Oh my god, how do you think it fractures the timeline if Mike Tyson accidentally kills Jake Paul?
I'm waiting for like the first like body blow that cracks a rib, and Mike has to go, "Oh, Jake, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. I'll pick you back up, buddy."
The body blow that fucking cracks a rib and shatters this nigga into like fucking Thanos snap dust, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to murder this white boy in the fucking ring. And what do you think it's gonna do to the internet? Because I said, if this works, then we might as well go back to, since we're rebooting Y2K, celebrity boxing. Right, like since we're in the reboot Y2K era, which I'm firmly, I'm fine with.
By creator clashes or something have been trying to do though.
Yeah, no, and I mean, let's just lean all the way into it. What I'm really trying to say is, Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel just need to duke it out, and Joe Biden and Donald Trump need to just fight for the presidency. Let's, like, I think that'll be our. Pigs wrestling in mud moment when like the two of them just fight on the Senate floor and one of them dies, and we'll be like everybody, and it'll be live stream.
The last Jimmy last episode of Jimmy Kimmel, he finally interviews Matt. First question he's gonna ask is, "What are you still doing here?" That should be the first question Kimmel asks Matt Damon on his last show.
I just had a really dark thought. What do you think the likelihood of the next presidential assassination being live streamed on like Kick or TikTok?
Not a non-0% chance. Absolutely a non-0% chance.
Also, Ted the Fed. That wasn't like a hint or like some kind of like premonition, so please don't raid No Diddy. I call No Diddy. But I would love to watch Joe Biden and Donald Trump duke it out, especially because Joe Biden has like threatened to beat people up before. Didn't he say he wanted to take Donald Trump behind the bar?
Yeah.
Like, let's make
I have Joe in that fight.
You really? Donald's got the weight though.
Donald ain't corn pop.
That's my point. Donald ain't corn pop. All Donald got to do is just throw a little weight behind it. I just wonder how quick Joe would pull.
And I feel like Joe is... Have you played Metal Gear Solid 3?
Go ahead and hit me. No, I have not.
So there's this like really old sniper guy who's basically like...
Yeah, old man Steve.
He's basically just sitting there. He's like dead until they need him to like get into a sniper battle with Snake.
Yeah, that's how Joe Biden feels right now. I'm not dead yet. When I started, they said I was too young. So, now they say I'm too old.
Another funny
Kojima.
You know
what I say is, where's my applesauce?
Another funny Kojima thing, you know, the famous Psycho Mantis, he can read your mind, plug it into the other controller.
Yeah, read your memory card shit.
Yeah, the, that fight against the really old dude, turns out if you, like, leave your PS2 running for, like, 2 weeks, the guy dies from old age.
What? If you put it on pause...
No, you can't pause it.
Oh, so you just... play the game, but leave it running.
You just have to have it on for like 2 weeks. The guy will die of old age.
And you go to fight him. You won't be able to fight him because it'll be like he died.
Oh no, it's a sniper battle, so you're like hiding, like, and trying not to be seen and everything.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you just find a spot that you can hide for like literally 2 weeks, the guy will just die.
They don't make video games like they used to anymore. Just rush to the department. Do you see Grand Theft Auto, Rockstar is trying to urge their developers to come back to work to keep up with the deadline that they put in place for debut of the newest Grand Theft Auto game?
I did not.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it makes me wonder how well they're being compensated, right? Because, like, I do think that there is something to be said about the way video games are being rushed to development now and the lackluster response that they get upon being released.
GTA 6 has gotten flopped.
Yeah, exactly, right? So when I see headlines about them rushing developers or urging developers to rush back to work so that they can meet the deadline and not push things off, right? It's like...
GTA is one of those franchises that's just, like, not allowed to have a bad game.
Right, so do we accept them pushing the release date back?
Yes.
Further?
Yes.
Or do we...
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
You say that, but what happens if we don't get Grand Theft Auto until, like, fucking 2027?
That would be fine.
You would be fine with that? And you gotta buy a whole-ass new PlayStation because you know by 2027 there's gonna be a new fucking, like, PlayStation, a new gaming system that you gotta buy.
I'm not gonna buy a PS5, I'll get a PS6.
We'll be able to get you fucking hands. Hopefully by then we won't be having the chip shortage and the scalper issue. I mean, maybe by 2027 we'll be out of the fucking years. Like, it literally feels like, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to where they said that shit, but every day, more and more, I really feel like we are living in the era of the scammer, right? Like, you just gotta have your little fucking plot to get your little piece, get the bag and run at the moment. I mean, Lord knows Donald is, right? They just took a fucking Truth Social public. Hey, Truth Social is now trading on the fucking New York Stock Exchange.
Yep.
Which I think is funny because how can this nigga go public in New York? Anyway, I'm not going to question the legal legitimacy of that.
Probably because he doesn't have, he's not like owner or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, so if you wanted to buy steak and help Donald pay his legal, can now do that. And then maybe get your hands on a pair of some of them Freedom Fighters or whatever the fuck they were. The Jan 6s.
Cool 45s.
New flavor just dropped.
Cool 45 and 268.
Brody, it's crazy to me that they lowered the amount. See, that's what I'm talking about. Being rich and white in America has so many benefits that come with it. He was like, oh, you really can't. Yeah, I guess that's crazy. $500 million, that was a lot. Yeah, I guess we'll lower it down to 175 for you. Since it's so hard, right? Oh my God, but don't you dare fucking, like, talk about promoting welfare and shit like that. The Republicans voted to raise the retirement age. Cut back on Social Security. Again, right? Meanwhile, they're telling you guys it's the Democrats that are draining your pockets, and it's Joe Biden ruining the economy. Get the fuck out of here.
And the frogs are gay.
I feel like there was some Alex Jones in
there. There was. And it was, he said, I will eat your liberal ass. And he made a graphic of it, and he posted it on Twitter himself.
Oh, I know that's not what it was that I was thinking of. It was the fact that he, spoke out against the Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people, because it was a coin toss on whose side Alex Jones was going to land on when it comes to that. I mean,
okay, so I got something I wanted to ask you about with Israel-Palestine. So, I give Joe in his State of the Union address credit for one idea, and I was like, you know what? That's at least thinking outside the box. But he was like, we're gonna make a barge,
yeah, the
and put it in the Mediterranean,
barge. Yeah, since
and
Israel
then sail shit in.
Yeah,
people are like, that's so fucking stupid. I'm like, it's not ideal, but
it's
not nothing.
I feel like we can't say it's not nothing, though, because Joe could also easily say, hey, stop fucking blocking the aid if you want us to continue funding you militarily, right? But he's not, and it could be, you know, it's not just Joe's fault. Like, the Republicans are also very pro-genocide of the Palestinian people. The whole floating, it's like AOC just said, right? And even she's been kind of, like, questionable as far as this Israel-Palestine conflict goes, right? But even she was like, this is about to be a way more expensive option than what we could be doing if we would just speak up and say, hey, dial it the fuck back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was drone footage just recently that was leaked to Al Jazeera, I think, of a drone strike on four Palestinian men just, like, walking down. Right? Like kicking their legs and, like, whistling and swinging. Trying to have some semblance of, like, peace and humanity in this chaos that they're living in right now. They were taken out by fucking two drones. And, you know, Israel will say that they were in disputed territory at the moment, and that they've gotten lots of reports of Hamas, you know, parading around with civilians and stuff like that, which is their excuse for a lot of the extermination that they've been doing for Palestinian people. Let it be known on this fucking podcast, or at least from this host of this fucking podcast, that what I perceive Israel to be doing is a fucking genocide.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Hands down. And, I mean, there are even fucking Jews in America and Israel that are speaking out. I think it's crazy how Israel continues to get away with the just overaggression in their pursuit justification for October 6th.
You're completely 100% right about Joe, but the march is a creative idea. It's a creative idea.
I mean, in solution of just doing the right thing, right? Or I guess in consolation of...
I mean,
in
that's
consolation
also...
of doing... In consolation of just doing the right thing, if we're going to find creative solutions to not calling Israel out on their bullshit, then yeah, I guess this is a good
one. I will say, where I think this idea came from was probably like an intern in the White House
who was reading about fucking Caligula.
Who was just like, look, this is fucking awful. Is there anything we can do? Can we just, like, put, like, a fucking boat out there? And then somebody was like, we probably could.
Nah, dog. This totally gave me, like, how often do you think about the Roman Empire vibes? Because, like, didn't Alexander the Great do that shit too? Build a floating bridge to get to somewhere? And some intern was like, well, you know, I was reading about Alexander the Great the other day, and they built a floating barge. And Joe was like, you know what?
It wasn't Alexander the Great. It was,
It was either Alexander the Great or Caligula.
Well, are you talking about the attachment on boats that would, like, swing down?
No. One of them, like, is, if not both of them, built floating bridges.
I mean, that's cool.
I'm telling you, bro, some intern in there was thinking about the Roman Empire because, you know, men in the West can't go a week without thinking about the Roman Empire. And Joe Biden was like, you know what that sounds like? Sounds like a good idea. Has anybody seen my applesauce? I can't take my
Joe, are you going to actually talk to Israel today?
No. No, I don't think I will.
It's crazy right now. I'm kind of, like, shook because this week, it's been crazy out here. I mean, Russia just got hit with that terrorist attack, right? Like, that wasn't a hospital. Some kind of, like, community center in Moscow, I think, got bombed.
Yeah.
And it was, like, over 100 people. Fucking ISIS, like, just when you thought it was safe.
I saw the chop training. It was like Moscow, then ISIS, and then definitely not the CIA.
I mean, America tried to kind of warn Russia in the roundabout way they do those things. They put out a public statement issuing all of their diplomats and representatives over in Russia to not attend large public gatherings, right? Because of heightened responses in, or heightened cautions in response to some actions made by Russia. Because Russia just foiled some terrorist attempt in like the Northern Caucasus regions at a synagogue or something like that that was supposed to be getting bombed. So lots of people think that this was a retaliation. It's like fucking crazy out here right now, bro. It ain't even hot out yet.
Yeah, right?
It ain't even fucking hot out yet. It's only March. It's only March of 2024. It's crazy. And he's getting raided. Yeah, I was getting bombed.
LeBron James is a podcast, which you can't read it.
We'll talk about that after we get back.
Break!
It's not possible. If there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, expands into territories, and crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but... there it is.
There it is.
Life finds a way.
LeBron James!
LeBron James!
And J.J. Redick are here with this week's I Never Knew I Needed This.
A boat's a boat. A mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
LeBron James and J.J. Redick have released a podcast called Mind the Game, where they get into, they call it a love story to basketball. Throughout the entire podcast, Michael Jordan's never mentioned. They talk about plays. They talk about how options are run. And it's definitely a podcast that is best enjoyed visually because they give definitions and breakdowns for all of this stuff while you're watching.
So it's a real inside look into the minds of two of the pros and how they break down their approach to not only like playing the game, but what they've learned throughout their time playing the game.
Yes.
It almost like how they would approach teaching somebody who is like, you know, trying to enter the space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how to navigate.
I've been a basketball fan all my life, and I watched that, and I still learn something.
So you're bound to find something informative if you are a basketball fan. This is something probably more for, like, you know, the more analytical minded of the basketball fans. This is not like your barbershop talk.
This is for the basketball fans who Stephen A. Smith annoys.
And, which is cool, and it's one of the things that I do like about podcasts, right? As fun as, or as easy it is to poke fun at them, right? And this is coming from a podcast host, right? But there literally is a podcast for anything and everybody. And if you are interested in the topic, you are absolutely certain to find a podcast or a YouTube channel. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all, right? I have frequently been quoted on here saying that I think, you know, YouTube itself has brought back public access TV, even though YouTube now is a space that is, like, heavily catered to the corporate conglomerate, right? It started out as like public, and it's kind of getting back to those roots. Like even Mr. Beast just recently was talking about shifting the kind of content that he makes to be more, you know, personal, and YouTube viewership has shifted more to like personal, less highly produced content, getting back to what YouTube was known for in the beginning, right? Not necessarily YouTube poops or anything like that, but you know, more of the vlog space kind of things. Streaming like Kick is doing crazy numbers right now. YouTube itself is doing crazy numbers. Twitch is, you know, and all that is off of, I guess, Twitch kind of not siphoning off viewership. shit, but, you know, funneling game shit into these industries.
I think it's wild with JJ. So this podcast is produced by 342 Productions, which is JJ's company, and Uninterrupted, which is LeBron's company. No ESPN Insight.
And it doesn't need to be,
and
right?
I think it's hilarious because I said off record that JJ was on First Take with Stephen A, and he was like, look, Stephen A, I did a video breaking down all of these things in super technical terms, and it got like 10,000 views. Yet, when I respond to one of your stupid, ridiculous takes, it gets hundreds of thousands of views. The fans don't want to be informed. And then he drops this with LeBron, and it goes to number two trending.
It was almost like a perfect alley-oop to himself, right? Like, or do they? And maybe it's just not by you, right? Maybe it's by Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom, who also are dropping a sports podcast called Keeping Up with Sports, because of course it's called Keeping Up.
Who the fuck asked for this?
Yo, it's me! It's me, the guy who asked!
What is this?
But why?
Hey, who man's is this?
Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do any of that?
Who man's is this?
You serious?
I mean, clearly Lamar saw JJ Redick and LeBron and was like, you know what? I could fucking do this. And just happened to also be talking to Caitlyn Jenner for some reason. I mean, who knows? Who knows why those two are still keeping in touch with each other?
Well, Lamar's cracking.
But, like, I mean, listen. Both the NBA star and the Olympic decathlon athlete will appear on KUWTK for many seasons during their respective marriages, right? I don't know. According to People Magazine, the former family members are teaming up with their sports podcaster, Zach Hirsch, for Keeping Up with Sports, according to, they have a website for the podcast. So you can go to keepingupwithsports.com. There are three episodes coming soon, according to the website. It's just got the three hosts listed up. I can't see exactly who is hosting the podcast. It's available or will be available on Apple Music and Spotify. Right? So if you are not really finding what you're looking for from the LeBron and JJ Redick podcast, know that you will be able to go
listen to a crackhead
from Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom, as well as Zach Hirsch, right? Keeping Up with Sports. Like, when I saw that, I was like, hey, well, listen, just because they're known for other things now doesn't mean that they weren't involved with sports at some point.
Lamar Odom's a two-time champion and a crackhead.
And so is Caitlyn Jenner, right?
Multiple gold medals.
So, who's to say that they don't have some sports insight?
No,
right?
They do. Wouldn't be my first choice to go to.
Oh, man. I do need to. But once again, you know, nobody has to ask for it. And that's the beauty of this podcasting space, right? Is nobody has to ask you to make a podcast on all of the fucking weird things going on in your neighborhood. But you can do that. Now, all you gotta do is go buy a $120 kit on YouTube. That doesn't mean that you will get the lovely Patreon subscribers we have.
Like,
shout out to
Enraged Peacock and someone who really wishes they could get their hands on a bottle of Coca-Cola before federal regulation.
Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of federal regulation, you know what's going to need to be federally regulated after is this fucking docuseries? Children's TV. If you haven't seen it yet, we talked about Quiet on Set last week. Well, it's actually dropped. And it is all the buzz right now.
For multiple weeks.
More so than the other show we'll be talking about here. But yeah, both of us have watched a little bit of it, and Zig, what is your reaction? How are you feeling about it? Is your childhood ruined?
It makes me feel some sort of way. the things that go on in this show and the events that it's discussing are horrific. And yet somehow that because this is a series that is being released episodically over multiple weeks and with how melodramatic it is, it makes me question the motives of the producers and the director.
It doesn't quite hit the mark, does it?
No, like I said,
it doesn't hit the expose mark like it should, does it?
Like I said in the chat, like, I can imagine the editor in the room with the producer over top of their shoulder, and the editor goes, man, Drake is really, really brave for speaking out about this, and the producer goes, yeah, Dan Schneider's a monster. Now, can you adjust the lighting to make Drake look like he's being held hostage?
Man, it really was giving overproduced vibes the entire time. I don't think that what needs to come away from the discussion that we're having here is that we shouldn't be calling attention to the monstrous atrocities that were committed while working with these children on some of what has become the most, like, popular kids' media of pop culture.
But do we have to do it for an entire month?
Who does this serve, right? Like, I guess, you know, there are people who will say that, obviously, the victims should be hurt, right? But, like, does telling their stories really bring them justice, right? Because, and once again, it's giving
What is the producer and director's goal in having them tell their story?
And let's not, and once again, this is not to downplay any of the experiences that
none
discussed
whatsoever.
Because
none
it is horrific. The fact that pedophiles and groomers and people who are registered sex offenders can get jobs working with kids is absolutely deplorable. Bro, that's insane. Yes, it is wild that on what ended up being one of the most foundational networks of a lot of at least American children's childhoods, right, had such horrific things going on behind the scenes. But not, and like it seems a little odd the focus on Nickelodeon when I just feel like you're not gonna tell me that this was happening other places. I mean, fucking Seventh Heaven, right?
Yikes.
Like that dude was abusing his children while working on the fucking show. Right, and had been abusing his children before getting that job working on it. So it really does feel to me.
And you know what? I don't need a Jessica Biel produced tell-all movie about that. I don't. I really don't.
It does feel to me like, hey, let's cash in on people dunking on Hollywood, right? Because like we are getting into, and even with the like Diddy thing. Right, like there now we will. People are feeling vindicated.
It all started with Kat,
right? Exposing people for their Hollywood humiliation rituals and stuff like that. Is Nickelodeon going through a humiliation ritual right now? Are we about to see the rebranding and rise up of Nickelodeon again to take down Disney, the conglomerate that is Disney? I mean, the United States government. Already going over or going up against Apple with antitrust lawsuits, right? Like they're taking on the monopoly that is the Apple Corporation. Is this somehow laying the platform to take down Disney too? Is that where we're after next? Is that what's going on? And once again, that's not me saying that anybody's stories in here should be discredited at all. This documentary, although itself feels more salacious than justice being served, if that makes sense. I guess
yeah.
That's my take from it, right?
Is yeah.
Like
it does feel more like
a spectacle.
Like trauma porn than justice being done.
Yeah, and not in the like not in the glamorized euphoria way either, right? Like this is just like the opposite end of that. Like something that would have aired on fucking Lifetime in like 2000. And yeah, it just feels gross. Like, I shouldn't... It almost feels like the documentary is like, you shouldn't like all that anymore. Because those kids were being abused while you were...
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, man. Okay, well, I guess, what do you want me... What should I, like... You want me to watch Rob Dyrdek then? I don't get it. Then the next thing you know, though, he'll be on the fucking Epstein list, right? God, is everybody a fucking groomer now? Because that's how it feels. It just feels like we can't fucking enjoy anything.
Oh, you have children? You're a groomer.
You can't read. You're a groomer. It sucks. It sucks, bro. I don't know how else to put it. Other
you're
than
a child? You're a groomer.
It sucks. And thank God for X-Men 97, because that doesn't suck.
Me, my X-Men.
At all.
That's not grooming kids, although... If you listen to the discourse on X, it is...
You listen to the discourse on Rogue's butt!
So it's either X-Men is too woke, or X-Men is too woke. Damn it. Yeah, no, they are. There are two camps here. The people who are upset at the heavy-handed symbolism that is... The fucking story about superheroes being persecuted against for being different.
We're getting rid of a cartoon character's ass.
So, listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. After that first episode, I was a little concerned, right? Especially in the beginning of the first episode. I was like, ooh, that animation is a little jarring. The change in animation style. I told you, it was giving me Webtoon feels. Right, like
very high quality webtoon.
I mean, sure, yeah, we could call high quality webtoon, but it still was high quality webtoon in the very beginning, right? But they did do those fight scenes clean. It felt like it almost felt like X-Men had to shake the rust off, right? Because by the time the second episode comes around and like the focus on Magneto, when they go super woke and super DEI and super fucking 1619 project. Yeah, no, that episode was great. The voice acting in that episode was fine. It all landed the mark.
Magneto was dressed like fucking David Bowie.
Yeah, no, Magneto was giving men spiders from Mars.
Sleeveless vest with the giant M on it?
Yeah,
like
just silver fox in it. Like.
I stood on this hill, so I have to stay on this hill. I'm still gonna call Cyclops a bitch.
I don't know how you can do that after watching... Even in the first episode, my man came through and it was like...
God, it's going to be so hard, but I have to keep calling him a bitch.
Listen, I don't know.
I've been doing it for 30 years.
At this point, I'm with Frankie.
That landing was so fucking cool.
Yo, and at this point, I'm with Frankie, right? It's time we admit that Wolverine is the hater, bro. Wolverine is the bitch of the group who will fucking talk shit about...
I think now Gambit might be the hater.
Yeah, now exactly, because anything but make Wolverine look bad before Deadpool v Wolverine comes out, right?
Listen, Bob.
Yeah, no. It ironed itself out. I would say about halfway through the first episode. If you can make it through halfway of the first episode, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Especially if you decide to watch the second.
Morph is a fucking troll.
Oh, 100%. I am. Excited to see how they, what direction they choose to go in with this reboot.
Oh, so spoiler alert for the end of the second episode, everybody. Alright, so, the end of the second episode.
Oh,
Jean shows up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bro, that's what I'm saying. I'm excited to see where this is going here, right? Because, like...
You want
to
know which one's the real Gene?
Is this some kind of, like, scroll activity? Like, what is this?
The real Gene's the one that fainted, because she'd be doing that all the time.
I think the way... I already felt like the one that was in the, in the mansion already wasn't the real Gene by the way her face shifted, right? Because it had, like, an anger look, like, fuck. Like,
there's,
I found out kind of deal.
The theory is that it's this character called Madeline Pryor, who's, like, a clone of Jean Grey. And it gets confusing because it's the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look, they picked a crazy storyline to, like, jump on. I mean, that was a wild cliffhanger, bro, to leave everybody hanging with. after first they ended the first episode with a crazy cliffhanger and it was like, oh yeah, Magneto run this bitch now. And then the second one was like, and that's not even the real Jean Grey, nigga. So just in case you thought you was getting some regular reboot, this ain't your fucking grandpappy's reboot. Get out of here.
Give Magneto a koofy.
Get out of here with that shit. No, I was psyched. I was pleasantly surprised with the overall production and just the overall the overall product here. I'm definitely going to be tuned in. I love.
Did they say how many episodes it's going to be?
I did not.
I hope it's not something shitty like 8.
Oh right. don't do that. I have a mind. Because there is talks now with them having to completely shift gears here at the Disney Factory when it comes to Marvel and not being able to lead with the Jonathan Majors project, that they are thinking about pursuing more animated reboots of the 90s series, right? Like, and
Spider-Man would be a great one.
With the next one being Spider-Man, right? So if this works out, we may be seeing, you know, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man show is actually really good.
This all started with Fantastic Four, right? So maybe we'll get a new Fantastic Four cartoon.
Except for Doom.
Once again, if you want your Doom, you've got to have your Fantastic Four, despite what you think about Reed Richards, even though he is the smartest, one of, if not the smartest character in the entire MCU.
Fool! The second smartest.
Even though
Richards' arrogance is what puts this planet in the problems that it is. And when all else has failed, that leads to doom.
Even though, up until comics really exploded, Doom constantly got outsmarted by Reed. Man, it's...
Hey man, Reed Richards' daughter wouldn't, or his wife, wouldn't be alive without Dr. Doom.
And we wouldn't be alive without y'all. So that's just, you know, us reminding you guys that we appreciate y'all for tuning in with us every week. We're gonna keep this episode short because it will be dropping on Easter, and we're sure you guys have lots of podcasts. But if you do tune in, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back at y'all next week with more hot takes. And me saying that before Zig gets a chance to drop the plugs, it's just another example how none of this
is normal. What you mean normal is buying all your Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon Magic together and Flesh and Blood board games and card game supplies at TokenWG.com and using the promo code Ziggy to get 10% off of your order.
And we'll be back at y'all next week. Enjoy your Easter break and stay safe.
Deuces.
Look, it's a flood!
It's a flood.
It's flooding!
Get away!
Quick, we need to get to higher ground!
Open the floodgates!
Wait, why can't we talk about
it? It is time to talk.